Hey, hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to Be the Man with the man himself, the Nature Boy, Mr. Ric Flair. Rick, how are you, man?
Good to see you, man. How are you?
Man, better
are you
than
coming to me. Are you coming to me live from the Conradison or the New Lake?
The New Lake residence. The same Conradison.
Or waterfront from the Panhandle. Which one of the estates?
Just the regular old Huntsville house, the modest home on the meager hill. But here we are talking about what's causing all this. Rick, another week has gone by and you have captivated the internet. There's so much speculation. Unbelievably, I saw yesterday that people think you're going to be wrestling Hulk Hogan.
I didn't know that you signed him up yet.
I mean, I know we're saying it's a who's who and there's going to be big surprises, but goodness gracious, I don't think it's going to be you and Hulk Hogan. Is it? Did I miss that?
I not that I know of. I think you would have run that by me.
I would think so, but man,
he's invited. I've talked to him personally, but to come to the roast and come watch the match. But, he hasn't confirmed for sure, but I'm pretty sure he'll be there.
Well,
he don't want nothing to do with me.
Everybody.
Without Eric Bischoff booking it, he don't want nothing to do with me.
Oh, I love it. Well, it's going to be a who's who StarCast at the end of July. We'll get things kicked off on the 29th with the roast of Ric Flair. We're doing an unbelievable horseman reunion on Saturday the 30th. And then, of course, I can't believe this is a real thing. Ric Flair is going to walk that aisle one last time on Sunday, July 31st, under the banner of Jim Crockett Promotions. Bracelets are on sale to attend all the panels and the roast right now at StarCast.com. One gold bracelet gets you access to all of those events. Plus, you get access to meet all your favorite superstars for the meet and greets and what have you. But man, the big talk, RicFlair'sLastMatch.com. Tickets go on sale this Friday. Rick, they're predicting a pretty fast sellout for us. Are you excited about Friday's on sale?
I'm very excited. Especially because no one knows exactly who's going to be competing in it. I think you and I have got a pretty good idea, but yeah, I'm very excited. Just to be part of it, it makes me excited. It's pushed me. I'm kind of one of those guys that I have to have a goal to really push myself hard, and not knowing exactly who the opponents are going to be, but having a rough idea.
Without further ado, let's bring him in from Jim Crockett Promotions' very own, maybe arguably the greatest tag team wrestler of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, one half of the Rock and Roll Express, your friend and mine, Hall of Famer, Mr. Ricky Morton. Ricky, welcome to the show, man.
Guys, thank you very much for having me on here. Ricky. Yes. Hi, buddy. How you doing? Hey, before we get this started, guys, it's something I want to say. I was fortunate in this business to work for Jim Crockett Promotion, and I was fortunate enough to get my PhD from the world heavyweight champion, Ric Flair. I got to say,
partying or wrestling?
in both, and I could talk about that, but I won't. But no, I wanted, before we get our fun out and laughing,
you can tell the stories
and having a good time.
Everything goes with me, man. I won't tell anybody you, but you can tell about me.
It just, me too. It just no,
adds,
you say
it just adds to the legend.
Hey, I'm not ashamed of nothing I done, bro. Okay, but I just want to say
I can't say that.
Okay, but. Just to get to you and finish what I was saying, you're the greatest world champion there is or ever will be. The greatest worker. Nobody could imagine the things that I watched being in the ring with you, what you've done and how to tell the story and how to change this direction, then go back to another direction that when you try to teach us, the guys these days have no damn clue what you're talking about, don't understand our business. But Rick, you're the best. And let me get that out of the way. And then we can start.
That's
and then we can browbeat.
That's a wrap, Conrad.
Yeah. Hey, then we can start browbeating the shit out of each other. All right.
Good. Rick, how familiar were you with Ricky Morton before he joined Jim Crockett Promotions in 1985?
Well, the funny thing is Ricky, there's so much more to Ricky Morton and rock and roll and Midnight between us as how we all met and all that. I was the traveling world champion, and Watch brought me in. And I had never met Ricky till I saw him in Mid-South with along with Corny and Robert and Bobby Eaton, God rest his soul, and Dennis. So I came back, you know, I was like a recruiting around the country for Jimmy. And I came back and said, that Rock and Roll Express, man, is unbelievable. I mean, you know, Ricky was, like I said, I put Ricky in a class of being one of the 10 greatest Bay Faces. And if you look at, I'm looking at my career, which it'll be 50 years in September. I can remember so few that were really great. Ricky was one of them. And of course, Robert right there behind him. But Ricky, of course, had a lot more singles competitions than Robert did, which is it just worked out that way, especially with me. So it's a whole different world. Tag team wrestling is one thing. I was an average at best tag team wrestler, but I was much better as a single. And when the opportunity came around to work with Ricky, I can't remember how exactly it happened. It just was magic. I mean, we didn't do much at all to set it up. And then we got kind of serious when he stomped my sunglasses and the Horsemen collectively. We beat him up in the dressing room of Greensboro and messed up, broke his nose and smashed it. And we were off and running. I mean, it's one of those angles. Here's how it went. The first time every building in the Mid-Atlantic area sold out, the first time was me and Mulligan. The second time every building in Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling sold out, it was Steamboat. The third time, it was Ricky Morton.
Mm.
I mean, every arena, from Roanoke to Savannah, clean. First time was Mulligan, second time Steamboat, third time Ricky Morton. We went clean everywhere, from Charleston, West Virginia, Philadelphia, name it, Baltimore, clean. And that's saying a lot, because I back then, I can remember I'd be working with Wahoo and that, and we did good, and I wasn't nearly as good at my craft then when I was with Wahoo, but the first time we did an angle with Jack Mulligan, we actually sold out every arena. We got to Roanoke and said, we did it. You know, Ricky will tell you too, Roanoke was a good town, but to sell that sucker out was hard. And we did it, I think, consecutive times. And then, of course, us, other than Harley Race and Jack Briscoe, or maybe Jack and Dory, I don't remember anybody in the history of the business wrestling 18 consecutive hour Broadways like Ricky and I did in that two-week span. And that's only to have maybe 2 days off and right back into the, we did every building in the territory, we did an hour. And if we didn't, and then with the second time, we'd come back in 45 minutes, the third time, be the cage, and I'd be the blowout. But we were rocking. We sold them all out, and it was just phenomenal. And we had so damn much fun doing it. Never talked to each other. I got to know his style. I watched him a lot, you know, in his tag matches. And those guys just had that magic and that charisma about him that is really unique and really hard to find in the business today. Arn and Tully had it. The Midnight Express had it. FTR has got that match. The Usos have got it. I mean, I'm not leaving anybody out, but I mean, it's being that familiar with your partner, knowing where he is at all times, thinking team rather than individual, which was a problem for me because I didn't do it that well. And then, of course, understanding that by making your opponent is either a heel or a bay face, you make yourself. That's a lost art.
Well, and it's an art that Mr. Morton has down pat. Mr. Morton. You know, Mr. Morton, when we talk about Jim Crockett Promotions here on the show, you can just tell it just comes through. It's Rick's favorite era of his career. Where does it rank for you? You know, years like 1985, 1986, where is that for you?
Oh, it's the number one. Rick, I want to say this to you before you said you met me down at Bill Watts, but when I was first breaking into business like everybody, and this is something that I never forgot. And I always mentioned this, you'd come out to St. Louis and wrestle on TV.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was one of the guys that you didn't know me then. I had the brown hair. I was a young kid and I would race to wrestle Rick on TV to put him over, because Rick, you're one of the few that ever did this. You knew how hard it was for the guys in the business struggling. I put you over, you come up, shake my hand after the match and put $100 bill on my hand. That's more than I made the whole damn week. So I wanted to tell you.
I don't remember that. Isn't that strange? I mean, I remember paying guys extra because that St. Louis ring was no fun. Especially on Sunday morning.
It was big as a football field.
Yeah. And as hard as your desktop, man, concrete.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. But, you know, coming to Crockett, Crockett was the best era, I think, ever in professional wrestling business. The group of guys we had there, man, what a family that we had together. And like Rick, I think the way this started out with me and you, I think you were planning on going with a Magnum TA. The Magnum had the car wreck.
Yeah.
And then you see me wrestle a single match. But what the greatest thing about, and I want all these guys out here to understand, is like the time, okay, when I broke your glasses.
Yeah.
Conrad, that was nothing rehearsed. I didn't even know that was happening. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was happening. I walked out on
TV. It cost $300. Worst career.
Do you understand? It was just by understanding this business and knowing this business and listening to Rick out there on the set, because, you know, he had that little puppet over here talking to me and nobody could see. And it was great. Look what it done. Look at the business we done off all of that right there. That was great. You said earlier, you know, we hardly ever dressed in the same dressing room. No. You never seen nobody, you know, and because the business was so sacred.
I saw you more at night after the match when you had girls wearing my robe. And by the way, how'd you get my robe down to your room?
Oh, very easy, Rick. Easy.
She's wearing my robe, and where'd you get it? In my room here.
Hey, I got three more of them over in my closet. You understand? You know what? I do have a pair.
You're like one of my ex-wives.
No, I got you. You know, and I used to do this after the matches. You know, I can't prove one of them. I can prove you. I have a pair of your wrestling tights that you threw in a trash can in the dressing room one night. You got through wrestling, something happened to them, you threw them in a trash can. Shit, I went over and picked them up, put them in my bag. And the same thing at my wrestling school. Robert walks in. He goes, "Where did you get that autographed picture of Andre the Giant?" I said, "When you was calling me a mark." But no, I kept a lot of stuff like that. Thank you, Rick. I mean, there's no era, and I don't care. I have wrestled. I was during the era of territories, starting off. Jim Crockett, man, just something about everything just clicked at one time, and the roof. And it's not about me or Rick. And what a crew we had, from the top to the bottom.
Absolutely. I didn't mean to exclude anybody else. We had so much talent. You're right, Rick.
Gosh, the best talent in the world. That was from the first bell to the main event. And the boys knew how to work and how to set things to go. Mm-hmm. When I first did the angle with you, Rick, you know, I was still in the thing with the Midnight Express. And this is what I really like. Mm-hmm. You know, they put me in some single matches and I'm working with Dick Murdoch, and me and Rick just did the flare. I mean, just did the angle, and it's on the bicycle tape, and it's all this. I'm working with Dick Murdoch. Man, I'm having a hell of a match with Dick. And Dick goes, "All right, listen to me. That angle, and this is in the ring, because I get talked to him.
I know Murdoch was great.
He says, "God, this angle you did with Flair, y'all going to make a lot of money." His finish was the Brainbuster. He said, "I'm going to hit you with the Brainbuster. Kick out on one." And that's the way the boys did.
Yeah.
You know, that went through it. Even Abdullah the Butcher. You know, I'm one of the few that Abdullah just put, I mean, I beat him with the suplex.
Yeah.
You see, to get me ready for you. So now, this is what I'm saying to you, Conrad. It took everybody in that territory
mm-hmm.
to get me ready for him. And when they got me ready for him, my brother Katie barred the doors. We were ready to go.
Yeah. Murdoch doesn't get nearly the recognition, but he was really good.
He was
really yes. good. Hey, I got to tell you a great Harley Race story, Conrad, while Ricky's there, because I think Ricky was there that day. So Harley's wrestling Andre the Giant in a single match in Greensboro. And all of a sudden, he just picks up Andre and slams him. Then he gives him a vertical suplex. I mean, he stood up straight up and down and dropped him, right? So I come back and like, and I'm a mark, right? I go, Harley, I said, do you ask Andre if he could do that before he did it? He said, do what? I said, just slam him and suplex him. He's supposed to go off his feet like that? Ricky, I looked at him and said, slam, suplex, kick out on 2.5. What did you just ask me? Oh, yeah. That was Harley Reid. Slam, suplex, kick out on 2.5.
He was lucky.
And Andre didn't say shit. I mean, I'm looking at it going, I couldn't believe, remember that? Harley would slam Andre all the time.
Yeah.
Long before Hulk did.
You know, Harley, I worked with Harley one night and he asked me, so what's your finish?
Yeah.
And at that time, I really didn't have one. I said, cross body off the top rope. He goes,
I'll move.
He goes, no. He says, do that to me and I kick out on 1. Yeah. My God, yeah. He did too.
and you said yes, sir. Like we all did.
Yes,
yes, sir.
Hey, working with Harley, Rick, you know, ha ta 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 ta. The whole match.
Yeah, you were laughing and making fun of him then.
No, it was great. I never made fun of him.
One tackle, drop down, leapfrog. Come off low, Daddy. Conrad,
great.
You think we were fun in the bar? You should have been in the bar with Harley Race after a night out.
Rick, you remember the night we were at the Hall of Fame, I believe it was the Hall of Fame bar in Tampa, Florida.
Yeah.
You and Harley were sitting up at the bar, and I was around the corner, and this football player come in.
Yeah.
And he's wanting to be a wrestler, and Harley's smoking a cigarette and talking to you and drinking. And he said, all right, kid, put your hand, in his fingers.
The Buccaneers stayed there.
Yeah, that guy went straight to his knees.
Yeah.
And then he was turning around talking to you, still smoking a cigarette. Didn't turn away and went, oh, excuse me. Sure did.
He had a grip like a bear, man. Oh, God dang.
All those guys did. Yeah. I never shook hands with him. I always hugged him.
Yep.
Never shook hands with Gene Anderson.
No.
and Danny Hodge. Never shook hands with him.
Yeah, absolutely not. Danny, for sure.
Yeah. You know, and all these old timers, they always come up to you anyway. You know, just say, come here, kid. Let me show you a hoe.
Trap, back to the neck.
Yeah, let me show you a hoe. What? No, it hurts. That's why I quit doing that.
Yeah.
No.
Thank God for those moments in time.
Precious.
Let's actually go back and relive one of those moments in time. We've actually got some stuff queued up for us to watch today. I'm pretty excited to do this. I love watching wrestling with Rick, and now we get to have Mr. Ricky Morton as part of this. We're going to go back and revisit a match that happened way back when in 1987. I believe this one went down in June of 1987. And what we've got here today, and this should be pretty fun, it's Rick and Lex Luger as the Horsemen taking against the Rock and Roll Express. So I think Steve's got that ready for us to take a look at, and we'll get going here.
The World Tag Team Champions, Robert and Ricky against the Dream Team. If you know, comparing the two teams, JJ, if there's any one setback to Ric Flair and Lex Luger, then that's the fact that they haven't been tagging or teaming together as much as Ricky and Robert have.
Well, with any other
down there, Steve. Take a look at this, Ricky. What's the first thing you think about this old footage here from 1987?
You know, it's funny. I don't remember this match because I was looking at it on the format. And as a matter of fact, I've been looking down at what you guys sent me today. I looked at last night. I don't remember the match, but I'm just thinking to myself, all I see is Ricky Morton. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And how much fun we had back then. I don't know why I would have been with Lex. I guess he and I just made it about ourselves anyway. Yeah. I hate to say that, but
Rick, I think
we're wrestling a single match right there.
Yes, we were. But I think that this is when Lex first come in, I believe.
Yeah. And, so this was filmed on June 6, 1987 in Greensboro in front of 12,837 fans.
And I think I had you rode up and Lex Luger come in and hit me with a clothesline. Is that the finish on this match?
We're going to take a look here. I think I think Morton, I think you have Flair covered with a roll up.
Yeah. Lex Luger come in. See, this match right here was to get Lex over to join the Four Horsemen.
You have a better memory of that than I do.
Yeah, this is just
I remember my matches with Arn with you guys.
Oh my God.
I didn't remember this one.
This was just to get Lex over, you know, before he could go ahead and join the Four Horsemen.
Yeah.
That was my job. And I done it. Look at this shit. We got to do that, Rick.
Quit slapping me.
Great.
Check out who the referee is. That Earl Hebner right there?
Yes,
that is Earl. Yep.
That is. Greensboro. What a town.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't have no... I've heard
Merle, man. He wants to be on the show big time, Conrad.
Well, we'll definitely get in touch with him. Hey, before we go too much further, Mr. Morton, yeah. I hope you don't have plans because we sure would love to have you at this Jim Crockett show on July 31st in Nashville.
Well, you know, Nashville's my hometown. God, I'd love to be there, guys. Thank you very much. Matter of fact, I want to bring I like to bring my son too, for he
please can, do. Yeah, Kerry Morton, by the way, a future legend. I had the pleasure of meeting him, gosh, almost 10 years ago now. And I can't believe he's a grown man and in the business now. And
here it is. Boom. Okay. I'm sorry. I got caught up in that match. You know what? I would love to attend it too. I like for, you know, bring Robert with me and Kerry James, just to be a part of all the fun, all the excitement. And, to watch Rick walk that aisle one last time.
Hey, how is Robert's knee?
His knee? Well, no, he's got a bad hip.
Oh, his hip. Okay, I'm sorry.
And I'm not trying to take anything away from him or anything like that. Rick, me and Robert are still very active in the business.
No, I was asking. I heard that he
yes.
I thought his knee was hurting him bad.
Yes, but he... But I do 90% of the match. No, I'm just kidding. I try to take care of him. I work around him. You know, if you know how to work, nobody knows.
Yeah.
And great. But look at Lex Luger right there.
Looks like a hero. He looks like He-Man come to life here.
Action hero, bro.
But Luger and Kerry Von Erich, man, probably the two greatest physiques in the business.
It sure were. But I remember this match, Rick. And it's hard, you know, if you stop to think how many matches we had in our lifetime.
Oh, gosh.
But I especially remember this match here. This is when, and I got to say, I didn't always get along with Dusty. Me and him had a lot of FU fights, but I respected him. And he come to me about this match. He told me, I got to get Lex over to get going. I'll never forget this, but he didn't have to explain it to me. It was my job. And cool.
Well, I'm excited that we're getting to watch this one. As we heard, you know, or we all remember Luger had just come up from Florida. This is early 1987 here, and Ole is wanting to take some time away from the business and go do family stuff. And there's an angle that happens where Ole gets essentially kicked out of the Horsemen, and there's a big feud with Tully and Ole, and certainly Arn and Ole. And now this debuting new star here says, hey, my goal and aspiration is to be a horseman. JJ starts having conversations with him, and eventually he becomes an official horseman, the first replacement, if you will, after Ole went down. But man, the look and the presentation, especially in this era,
when
you've got he feels pretty can't miss, does he not, Rick?
Yeah, yeah. And he aside from the fact that they were, you know, from different ends of the country, his body is as good as Kerry Von Erich right there, if not better. And that's saying a lot because Kerry had a hell of a physique. But Lex was 6'5", you know, 260.
Yeah, and you know, Conrad, I'm watching because I don't remember this spot. But you see, all this is called in a ring. And mm-hmm. I wonder what Robert's fixing to do after he just tried to slam him twice and he didn't. Let's see where they go from here. Because I can't remember every move. Let's see here. There you go. Now he got him, you see. Tell her that story. That's cool.
Yeah. That looked good.
Yeah, you understand, Rick. I was just wondering where they were going from there. And he did. Uh-oh. Here we go.
So as you see there, this was a part, even though it was filmed in June 6th, 1987, this actually made air in August of 87 when you guys
he just took off the best part. They're the only guy that could follow me on screen. He performed it intermission, right?
Yeah. We had Elvis there, do intermission, no problem.
Went straight to the heat too, didn't we? Oh.
You know, the problem is Ricky Morton had more girlfriends than Elvis. In Tennessee, for sure.
You know, people ask me all the time, tell me one story. I said, if I tell you one story, that's only one out of 35 years of being there, and you probably wouldn't believe it anyway. So yeah. I'm just not even going to tell you. Great. Oh, Rico?
Yes, sir.
Damn, it's going to make me cry. I'm sitting here watching you.
I'm telling you right now, let's get to the bar.
Yes, I'm telling you.
Howard Johnson or Holiday Inn tonight.
I am watching this happening here right now, and I don't go back watch too very many matches. But
I don't either. That's why I enjoy doing this show.
Wow, this Rick.
That's the Conrad has. And you're not just commenting on it, but you've been part of it. It's really interesting.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It's one thing to be to talk about the business. It's another thing to be part of the business and talk about it. And I can't emphasize that enough. You can have an opinion, and a lot of people do that never did anything like this. Uh-huh. What? But to really be part of it. And, brother, I'm smacking the shit out of him, Conrad.
Oh, yeah.
He's not complaining at all.
Yeah, but do you notice one thing else that I'm not doing? I'm not chopping you back.
No, I know.
That's your gimmick.
Yeah.
That's not my gimmick.
Oh, you guys are working on my nose.
Hey, one tackle, drop down, nose drag.
Nose drag. I love it.
No, we had a lot of fun. But
oh, God,
just look at this, though. I mean, look at this match, how it's going. Is this I know I watched today. I know our business has changed. I've changed with it too, and I'm trying to help myself.
They're gonna get this and more in Nashville.
Yeah,
I'm gonna bring back the entertainment aspect of the business. I guarantee you that.
If I was watching this on TV right now, I wouldn't get up. If it stayed on all day, I'd sit here all day and watch this. You know. See, I don't have to worry about Rick trying to shoot me out of a cannon.
Yep.
Do you understand? I'm not worried about him dropping me on my head. I'm not in my whole deal. If you don't mind where I'm talking, and people ask me about me selling or being a good worker, all I try to do was convince the people on the front row that it was real by selling. And I sure did. You know, I tried to convince them. If I could convince them, and that out of 10 times, even the guy I'm working with say, damn, you all right? You okay? But see, that's what I did, and that's what I love doing, and that's what made Robert and I, it made us successful in what we did at tag team wrestling, was selling, but not just selling, making the people believe what you doing to me was real.
Yeah, I'll tell you something else. It's important here. It's kind of a lost art, is doing it behind the referee's back. I don't know why that, you know, I'm throwing Robert over the top rope. You've got the referee knowing where to be. Nowadays, I've actually seen the referees worry about how they look. Hell, come on.
It happens all the time.
I respect the hell out of the referees, but when they start worrying about how they look in the match, then you got a problem.
Yes, but see, if you know how to work.
If you know how to work, there's no problem.
Yes, if you're a heel, you keep the heat on yourself.
Can you imagine a referee in 1986 saying, well, I'm worried I'm gonna get buried?
Oh, no.
Come on.
Well,
that's what's wrong with the business.
The heels, you got to keep.
Not saying there is anything wrong, but that'd be something that you'd never, ever hear.
Yes, I got
the
you.
The referee's worried about how he's going to look. What?
Yeah. But Conrad and Rick both, the heels, they knew how to work. They knew how to keep the heat on themselves and not the referee. That's a big thing. You know, now the guys, they just don't care.
Well, they do, but I don't disagree with that. I mean, they care, but it's laid out to such great detail and such great detail that it's impossible, you know, for everybody to always mesh or click on every beat. Well, and back then, we just did it naturally. And if something went wrong, it was so minor, nobody knew it.
Well, and if it did go wrong, only us in the ring knew it. Nobody else did. Yeah. So they didn't know if it was part of the show or not, Ricky. I see guys screw up in matches these days, and this expression on their face, and that's when the crowd start chatting, "You effed up, you effed up." It's because they gave their own self away.
Yep.
God, look at Lex.
Ricky, just to remind you, I think this is the first time that you guys came out with the tag belts. Manny Fernandez and Ivan Koloff were the victims. Of course, Rick Rude was hurt. Of course, we know in reality he's going to wind up going to work for Vince. But this is a big deal. Not the first time you had the straps, but being the NWA Tag Team Champions in this era meant a lot of times you were headlining another show, right? So at the time, there was the tag titles on top on one card and the world title on top on another card, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
Now we ran two towns every night.
Sure did. You know, and Rick was saying earlier about us going out. Man, we'd do one in the afternoon, jump on a plane, which Crockett had a plane, and fly straight to another town and do another hour.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. The best only part about that was funny is the way it worked out is at the halfway mark, I'd finally get the mask off Ricky, right? So Robert would come down like real concerned. And then Arn had to come down my corner. Arn was so damn mad. Why gotta sit out here and watch this damn thing 9 times a week? Hurry up, Beak.
Yeah. Take it home.
Ricky and I'd be laughing like hell because those two guys had to stand there for a half hour watching the same match and watch 17 times.
Oh, I got you. Look at this. See how the referee, he's not even looking. You understand? He knows where to put himself at because he knows what you're doing, Rick. That's a good referee.
Yep.
Great. I have been in a match, Conrad, with Rick, and this happened in Philadelphia. You know, that's a hill town. Them people there, they don't even like ice cream. I mean, it's just just horrible. I went to the ring, and they know I'm wrestling Rick, and I was everything but Ricky Morton, the biggest hill town in the world. Here come Rick out. Jesus Christ. People are flipping out. Yeah, yeah. Because they were the number one heel town in the world.
Yeah.
And in 10 minutes in that match, I was the number one baby face and Rick was the number one heel in that match. That's things that you can't teach people. But I was in the ring, fortunate enough to watch this happen. And what an education. I said, oh my God, man, he changed. He turned these people in 10 minutes. And not by cussing them out, not right. By doing that, but just working.
Yeah, we had fun, boy. No doubt about it. God, I can't get over how.
Look at that crowd.
Outstanding Luger's physique was. My God.
Yes, I see Larry a lot.
Yeah, right. I saw him at WrestleCon as well.
Yes, I see him a lot, and he's great. He's on a lot of sign-ins that we do and things.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, his story. And I'm so glad that, man, he's in such a happy place. He's a genuinely happy person. I mean, just a light and inspiration. If you have an opportunity to meet Lex Luger at a meet and greet or a Comic Con or a convention, go out of your way to do so. I mean, you will walk away feeling like $1 million, just exactly. The nicest guy that ever lived.
Yes,
absolutely.
Rick, do you notice anything different about this match? Do you guys notice anything different?
Other than the fact you look real tired?
No, you're getting the heat on Robert.
That's a great point, yeah.
You're getting the heat on Robert tonight.
Oh, Jesus.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, you wouldn't
sell. Well, it's too close to Korea.
hey, the greatest line of all time was Peggy Luger saying to my wife, Beth, My Larry would never run around.
Oh.
I guess suggesting that I did. What the hell?
Oh, I know.
That's a rude comment.
Just because a guy goes to a bar doesn't mean he's running around.
Hey, you know, he used to have some great parties. Rick did.
No shit.
And I never forget, Beth. You know, it's just about 3/4 of the party, and, you know, Rick's got his underwear on, and
shut up, Morton.
And he's got you're a fly.
The house or on the road?
Yeah, no, this is at your house. And then look here, and somebody's wife come in there and sits up to Beth and says, "Uh oh, here we go. Beat the piss out of him." But she come in there and says, "Yeah, your husband's in there with a flower pot in his underwear." And she goes, "He lives here. You just visited." Never forget that. Hey, no.
What an all-time great line.
Oh, yeah. He lives here. You just visited. Other words, he can do what the fuck he wanted to do.
You're just visiting.
What a great line.
Oh, cool. This is great.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you again for this match. Gosh.
This is too much guys, fun.
Oh, man. We fixed it. I'm back up here again. And you see what I'm saying? Conrad, and our business today, everybody wants that one pop. Okay, you got the first match when I'm on shows, they will break the indoor record for chops, even knowing that Ric Flair is fixing to come on. Do you understand?
Yeah. Yep.
No. If you notice, I only time I ever hit you with a chop was when Rick told me to, but I didn't want to. Here we go. What are we doing? I think I row.
Yeah, this is the finish plate.
Row you up. Here comes
Here comes Luger.
Here comes Luger. He's going to clothesline me out of the. No, here we go. Boom. You see?
Yeah, it looked good too.
Oh, it felt good too. No, I'm just kidding. You know, Larry was green then.
Look you at know? You getting those feet on the ropes.
You see?
I just always did that because it made it even more of a screw job.
You see? And. See what I'm trying to tell you, Conrad?
I do see.
No, what I just told you about Rick. He just answered that question. You know, after clothesline, he put his foot on the ropes to even make look he had to cheat more to beat me. And that's a businessman. Thank you, Rico.
And guys, let's keep the train on the tracks, man. We've paid some bills, but we've actually got one more fun little tag match, and then we'll wrap this one up. This time it's Rick and Arn against the Rock and Roll Express from 1990. Let's roll that beautiful bean footage, Mr. Kaufman.
Robert Gibson, the Rock and Roll Express.
Wow. Is this in Asheville, North Carolina?
Well, let me check that thing.
Beg your pardon?
Beaumont, Texas. 3,500 fans here.
Okay.
And this is Gary Michael Capetta on the call. Of course, by this point, WCW is now the thing. Ted Turner has purchased Jim Crockett Promotions. We're still, I guess, suffering through the Jim Hurd era. I know that's the way Rick would phrase it. But here comes the champ. Ric Flair with the 10 pounds of gold. Arn Anderson with the television championship. Pretty big time match here. The Rock and Roll Express against Rick and Arn.
Gosh. You know, this is the WCW. Is this the WCW era right here? You
said? Yes, sir. 1990.
Yeah, this is when Eric Bischoff.
I love this one right here. That walk in the aisle with Arn and I.
Just holding up the four fingers, man. There we go.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that amazing how that everywhere I go, even like this weekend at MegaCon in Orlando, every fifth person I took a picture with, and let's say I did 100 and let's say I did 300 photo ops in 2 days. Every third or fourth person would want this.
Yeah, everybody wants to hold the four up.
Not this, but this.
I got you. It's the same thing with being Robert. This.
I look like I've been out the night before.
Oh, I already got a little hair there. Okay. He hadn't been Robert Gibson yet. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding, guys. This was one of the greatest times. I think this is when WCW was coming in, and Robert and I, they were still with us here, but I think we was on our way out, Rick, I believe. I don't know.
I think the next year is when, or maybe it was later this year, that's when you tried being a heel persona as Richard Morton with the York Foundation.
Yeah, that's when Robert got hurt.
That's right.
And I was by myself.
What did Robert have done?
Well, Rick, I think I might have told you this story, and I want everybody to listen to it. I come into the dressing room, and Robert's sitting over in the corner. And I asked him, I says, what's wrong? He said, I got hurt last night. So I just walked off, and I'm thinking to myself, hell, you didn't even get in the ring last night. So I came back and asked him. He told me, when nobody was there, and his wife ran over him in the car. This is between me and you, okay? Yeah. Well, it's between the world now.
Yeah,
I thought I told you this story before.
I know who else is involved. I don't want to bring that up, though.
Yes, I know the story. But I told him to just get to the ring. I get the people, so when you come in, fall down.
Yeah, was that Sherry?
Huh?
Was that Sherry?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's part of life. Hell, like I told you earlier, I don't care. But what I'm saying is,
hey, look at Arn. Talk about a working fool, man.
So many intangibles that he did. It's so fun to watch.
Arn? Oh shit! Yeah. Unbelievable.
Hey, the first time I worked with Arn, I didn't know he was left-handed. Yeah. And he told me to block the punch. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He told me to block the punch, and I threw the arm. Bam! Hit me right in the face.
You know, if Arn could have handled a travel schedule, which I think he could have, but I don't know whether he would have enjoyed it as much as I did. Arn could have been a world champion.
Cool.
As a single. I feel very strongly about that.
Yeah. I'm not implying
he couldn't, but you don't realize what it is to go from working in a territory to traveling around the world every day.
Oh, I know it.
You got to really like the business.
Check this out, man. Unbelievable. Bam. Thank you, guys.
It got fast paced here, boys.
Look at all the Four Horsemen crowd. Yeah. See how they done turned them already?
Yeah.
They done turned them already. I used to love to do that spot with you. The stiff leg.
Yeah. We had fun. I don't even think we talked about it, and we just did it. We knew it.
I don't know if it's a TV tape. Like
Arn calling timeout. Little things like that make a big difference, man.
Well, the little things is what makes a match.
Yeah.
To me, Rick, when you put all the little things together, that's one giant big thing.
Yeah.
So I want you guys to listen.
Look at this. Oh, this is where
Arn got this from JYD.
Yeah.
Who would think of that?
Hey, Rick, look at the turnbuckles. See the pads? Look at the pads, Roods.
He did that with Jimmy, with Boogie Woogie Man every night. he said, you fall on your face and I'll do the turnbuckle. Let's get the hell out of here. Boogie Woogie.
Yes.
When the music's over, the match is over.
Yes.
I felt the same way about the Ultimate Warrior.
Okay.
When he got through shaking the ropes, the match was over. Christ.
Was he stiff with you, Rick?
Who?
Ultimate Warrior.
No. He could break an egg.
You know,
I've never felt him at all.
But you know, I still do a lot.
I didn't mean that he wasn't. I meant, no, that absolutely was not stiff with me.
Okay, what I was saying is, you know, I do a lot for NWA. You know, I still work for several companies. But, man, days, I get in the ring with these guys, man, you think you owe them money. God.
Well, they were green. That's the thing, too, about Steve. Sting was just, he wasn't, you know, he's a big, strong guy, too, but you never felt him.
Yep, yeah, but I'm talking about the guys these days.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, holy crap. I told the guy today, I said, man, I can't sell for you if you're going to knock my damn teeth out. You know, I can't sell that. Or hit me across the back so hard that you lose, get the breath knocked out of you.
Look at the crowd in Beaumont, Texas, which was a tough town.
They're all about it. And Steve, our producer here, I want you to pay attention because I think there's a huge pop if this is the right match. I remember, Mr. Gibson's going to put the figure four on Mr. Anderson and the crowd goes bananas for it. I mean, look at you guys firing off at each other here. Chops and punches and up and down. And here we go.
That was, look at that backdrop. Wow. Oh, check this out.
Come on now. Down goes Flair. What a great sequence.
Hey,
Hurricane Rana.
Hey, and you wonder why Ricky Morton was over? That's why right there. Thank you, Rico.
No, you know, it's one of those things where you look at it back and I'm breaking the code that I say, you just gave me a big backdrop, but to make that look right, I had to not sell it nearly long enough to get up and take the victory roll. But it's one of those times you gotta do what you feel is right. I oversold it afterwards.
This is great, man. Did you see the Roods? Turnbuckle pads.
Yeah, how cool was that? A shoe deal in wrestling way back when.
Yes. And I love this part too, because this was before the corporate era. Rick's got his long blonde hair and I love it. Rico?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that hair.
Every time I see it, I think about it.
Well, I know.
That's the best step right there. When you can tie up with a guy, man, and people know the difference.
Oh yeah, check this out, man. This is great stuff.
And that was cool because you see that happen all the time to start a match, but here we are in the middle of one and you guys broke it out and it still worked.
Oh yes, here we go. There's that.
Crack it. Here we go.
Oh yeah.
Rick Flair. Look at Robert Gibson. Double.
Nobody's
arm breaks it up.
Yeah.
Which makes it even better.
The young fellas from Tennessee have got
Blair. Just love that spot and the big reaction. Uh-huh. Boy, I think we've seen that kind of idea before right there. Well, that's more set up in the Luger match.
All right. Arn calling timeout again. Guys, that was phenomenal. And I guess this, you see this, it's not an 8-minute match either.
No.
You know, we're giving the people, are having fun. They're watching this match, and we must have did an angle. Robert's got a back brace on. I just now noticed that.
Yeah, I see. I love that, the way Arn could take that bump with that, what do you call that?
Have a corona. Enziguri. Yeah.
Enziguri, that's right.
But you know that back then, like the Hurricane Carolina.
Time on again.
But things have changed, Rick, because I was saying, well, you know, the Hurricane Corona, remember, that was a front head scissors at our time. You tell me, hit me with the front head scissors.
Yeah.
And
didn't you call it a victory roll or something like that?
No, the victory roll is the one, if you remember, where we beat Ivan and him for the world titles the first time.
Okay.
It's when I jumped on his shoulders from behind.
That's a victory roll. Okay.
Yeah, there it's front head scissors.
Okay.
That's the way I used to, because you'd call it.
Yeah, I know. I had taken it both ways where some guys would do their legs and arch their back and take it, like Steamboat gave it to me a different way.
Well, that's the way Robert and I did our tag team. Most of the time, Robert would do that first, and then he had head scissors towards me. He'll come up, tag him off, gut shot, and I do the Hurricane Carrera. Whoa. That's good stuff, man.
So fun to go back and see, you know, just how wrestling has evolved. I mean, it was so fun watching 87. Here we are 3 years later, and you can tell it's lit a little different. The ring's a little different. Hebner's no longer here. Now Nick Patrick is. How was Nick Patrick as a referee, Rick?
Oh, real good.
Nick worked too. See, Nick worked before he refereed. Yeah. He understood the business. Mm-hmm. You know, he was
a really nice guy too.
Yeah, he's humble. You know, Jody, his dad Jody passed away, a couple of years ago?
Yes.
Oh, did he? You know, I hadn't heard that. I was just going to ask you about Jody.
Yeah, he passed away maybe a year or 2 years ago.
I just came to the Carolinas when the Assassins had finished their run. It was Jody and I can't think of the guy's name.
I know his name. Give me a second. I'm on a 45-second delay.
Them against the Kentucky.
Renesto.
They and the Kentuckians drew huge money in the Carolinas.
Now, was that Grizzly Smith?
Yes.
Cool. Oh, there's our finish. Kick out on one. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm still in there.
You damn right. I'm just messing with you, buddy. He pulled a Harley race on me. No, gosh, Rick, you have that charisma that you're naturally a world champion, and it's what I'm trying to tell my son.
Oh, look at that.
Nice. And that was a great little piece of business there. Arn just pulled Rick out of the way as a charging Ricky Morton. Now doesn't hit Rick and instead just flies right into the ring post and he collapses to the outside of the ring.
Yeah.
This is great.
I hit my head on the metal there.
Though that's
which makes sense. Man, these guys are getting a hell of a match here tonight.
Yes, they are, Rick. With you and Arn in the ring, anybody's going to get a hell of a match. Guys, this is great. Man.
So fun to go back and watch this. You can tell how much fun you guys are having. And what a Hall of Fame crew here. Arn Anderson, Ric Flair, and the Rock and Roll Express. I know it's WCW, but boy, it sure does feel like Jim Crockett Promotions. And fans in Texas are absolutely loving it.
And when you see something like this, Conrad, we're all having fun because we're having one hell of a match here. You can feel it. Your adrenaline's going, and you want to give it that extra little boost. You always do. I'm watching the little things that Arn and Ricky are doing. And say, no, this is called in the ring. This is not called in the back.
Right.
Oh yes, and it's. Thank you guys. I forgot. Really, sometimes you forget how great that era was until you go back and watch it.
Yeah, I don't know that Rick was having the most fun in the world here in the Jim Herd era, but they did produce some good content. If you were a fan at home, there's a lot of great wrestling that happened here, you know, with the Steiner brothers, with the Rock and Roll Express, with the Horsemen. I look at you up top, flying crossbody for Arn.
Cool.
Man, look at the Look at Rick's hair go, baby.
I know.
Yeah. What it's, you see, they keeping, I'm selling, but they're keeping me alive. That's what heels don't know how to do anymore, how to keep the baby face alive. Well, hell, you can't find a baby face to sell anymore, but this is why the people are standing on their feet. Rick, I used to love to work with Arn too. Him and Tully, you know.
Oh, yeah. God, they were great.
Yeah, you know, I know we did a lot of history with the Midnight Express, and we, you know, the Expresses versus Expresses. But like I was saying, when you go into a route with another tag team.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. That's a million-dollar move right there. You can't cheat that.
And now everybody's ready for these tags. Can Ricky get to his corner before Arn can get to his? Man, look at the side of your face, Rick. Yeah. You really did get busted open pretty good there.
Are you talking to me?
No, I'm just saying. It looks like Rick on the left side of his face. He's bleeding pretty good.
I hit myself on that turnbuckle when you took the corner.
Oh, really? Okay,
it was a fantastic bump that went unnoticed by you. There you go.
Yes.
Boom. Wabo. Getting even. Don't honk up on me yet.
No. You're telling me start to stand up. I'm not doing nothing you don't tell me to do. You hear me? That's when you're telling me stand up.
There's those little teeny boppers.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah, I think we're getting wide shots because of the blood.
Now look at this right here, man. This is so good. Oh, whoa, God.
That's got to be
boot.
Shotgun, and that ought to do it. Oh, and you threw me off, Rick. Look at you, you damn cheater.
Yeah. Damn it. Damn.
What a great match. What a great time.
Hell yeah. You know, some of the guys that's out here watching on your podcast, if you are workers in our business, you need to go back and get you a pencil pad, take notes of this bad boy. This is how this is one of the great
bad boy.
Oh man. This is absolutely wonderful.
Babyface Ricky Morton. What is it? Ric Flair generic?
Yeah.
Conrad Thompson.
Yes.
How about the rest of the name, Steve? What the hell?
Wow. Well, you know, after watching this,
I feel like I may do some daytime drinking today.
Well, you know what? After watching this right here, I'm damn sure I will be in Nashville. I promise you that. I got to come see you.
Hey, bring your gear too. We'll do a clinic in the afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Seminar.
You want to be a wrestler? Come to Nashville.
Yeah.
By Ricky Morton, Ric Flair.
Hey, I want to thank you, man. That was very cool of you.
Thank you.
I was doing a seminar not long ago. And I always talk about Rick in the seminars, and everybody's looking at me, and I could tell something.
He FaceTimed me and thought I was in the bar.
Yes, I FaceTimed him, and all the boys he said hi to all the guys at the seminar. Thank you for doing that.
Absolutely.
No, that was a class act, and the people, just by doing that, they got their money's worth. I guess I owe you a little bit.
Well, we hope that you guys have gotten your money's worth today. We greatly appreciate your support of the podcast. Hope you'll follow Mr. Morton on Twitter. And of course, we hope you'll join us at the end of July in Nashville. We're going to kick things off on Friday the 29th with the roast of Ric Flair. I'll save you a seat, Mr. Morton.
You better be part of that, Morton. I think you've got a few things to say to me, right?
Oh, I could burn that ass up. you hear me?
Oh, hey, don't forget, it's an exchange of dialogue. I got a microphone too.
I got <you. laughs>
The Horseman reunion happens on Saturday the 30th, and then we close out the weekend with Jim Crockett Promotions getting the band back together one last time for Ric Flair's last match. Tickets are on sale this Friday at noon, ricflairslastmatch.com, and it sounds like the Rock and Roll Express and Mr. Kerry Morton, the future legend himself, will all be there. Don't miss it. Pick up your tickets. This will sell out, boys and girls. They go on sale this Friday, ricflairslastmatch.com. Mr. Morton, thank you so much for the time today. This was such a great time.
What an honor and a pleasure it was for me. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Conrad.
Thank you, guys.
Y'all have a good day.
See, man, I'll be talking to you later today.
Yes, sir. We'll see you guys next week. Right here.
By the way,
Be the Man.
Get the Woo Wings.